Hey guys, my guest tonight, Blake Sinclair, is going to be talking about ET communication, a mystical encounter with Archangel Michael, and some other very interesting stories. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks, find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? I hope you said great. I'm doing okay. Just a word of warning real quick. It looks like we are broadcasting on Facebook tonight. They changed their settings for Facebook, and I think starting Monday, or Sunday rather, for the next videos that we do, things are going to be, I'm trying to figure out how to like fix the changes so that we can still come broadcast through StreamYard. So I'm working on that. But if I don't get them changed in time by Sunday night, then we will be broadcasting on YouTube and Twitch and Twitter at that point, just temporarily till I can get my producers to work and figure all that stuff out. But tonight we're still broadcasting our usual Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch live. So I want to thank everybody for coming, and I appreciate it. And for those of you that did come over from Facebook or are coming over from Facebook to watch the show, I appreciate that too. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento, California. We're 45 strong up and down the state, which means that we can help you. It might take us a while, but we definitely can help you. I'm just looking at different notes. Okay, Jerry's in the room. I see you. Yeah, it's going to be pretty wild, you know, until I can figure out how the heck to get Facebook back working. Anyway, in the case that we can't get to you right away, we do have psychics and mediums on staff who can contact you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on in and around you. And if it is something paranormal, in most cases, they can calm the situation down until we can get out there. Okay? So, So just contact us. You can find us everywhere online. Just Google us, California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team, and we'll pop right on up. That being said, for those of you that are watching from Facebook, and some of you are, I don't know how many of you are tonight, but if you haven't done so already, hit that follow button. I really appreciate it. And show us some love. If you like what you see here tonight, give me a thumbs up, give me a happy heart, you know, things like that. Because what that does is that puts us out in what they call the FYP, and that is the For You page. And the For You page will distribute the show out farther, okay? So be sure to do that. Be sure to chat in the chat room like Jerry is. YouTube, same thing. If you haven't subscribed and you're on our YouTube page, check us out. We've got more than 1,000 videos sitting over there. And they're all of this show, all different topics. I'm a journalist. It's my real job, a journalist. And I like to mix it up so you're not always going to get paranormal stuff. Like tomorrow night, for instance, we're going to be talking about the mob in Cuba. So we're going to kind of mix it up this week. So yeah, please be sure to subscribe. And again, talk amongst yourselves in the chat room, and give us a thumbs up, happy face, you know, just to show us some love. Twitch, same thing. In fact, all the social media works the same way. It may have different little signal things like TikTok. You double tap the screen and things like that, but it all works basically the same to get us out of the FYP. All right, that's all done. I'm out of breath now. My guest tonight, author Blake Sinclair, has some very interesting stories to tell. You know, he has had an encounter, a mystical encounter, with Archangel Michael. And so that is a fascinating story. I heard him on this other show talking about that. And it's just an incredible story. And he also, like I said, has other stories to tell as well. In fact, one involving Mount Shasta that, what people don't realize is that my family had a home in this little town called Montague, which was about maybe 40 miles from Mount Shasta. We had this commanding view of the mountain, and I would sit out there at night and watch the weird lights around the mountain. And I mean, that it's strange because, you know, around top of that mountain, there's just you see all these fire, what I call firefly lights, that fly around there at night. And, you know, I never really knew what they were, but the more research I do in this field, the more I'm realizing that it's probably extraterrestrials. Blake has also been in contact with ETs, and we're going to talk about that, too. Well, let's bring him in, let him introduce himself, and we can get this show on the road. Marisa, welcome. Welcome, Jerry. Okay. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm good. Once I got over the fact that Facebook did weird things, I'm good now. It's that initial shock. You know what I mean? And you're trying to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So tell me about you,
technology,
sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
So, your whole story. Let's hear it. I got time.
Oh, my God. Whole story. Well, that's why I wrote three books to fill my life, and that's still not enough, but... You know, I'm an author. I wrote three books, and I'm a mystic. I'm a knight, Grand Knight Commander for the Royal House of Ghassan. I'm also an entrepreneur. I have my own business. I'm a therapist, a licensed occupational therapist. I do kind of in many, many different things in the healing arts. And the books are it's interesting because for many years I was getting downloaded information to write these books. I don't just sit there and write. But I get some things that downloads into me, then I start to write it. And if I stop writing it, it haunts me until I finish writing it. All these principles, all these teachings, and people used to wonder where it come from. And I would wonder too. But I know that part of it comes from the ascended beings. And only recently, when I started to do research on my life, I began to realize the connection that I had a kind of an ET connection. And I was repressing that part of my life for many years. And in fact, it was a couple, 3-4 months ago, I started to talk about my father, who was in the Roswell incident. He was a top secret photographer during the military. He actually developed the pictures for the Roswell crash. And so we started talking about that. And then I started to research about him. Then I started to research about myself because I did have a contact experience as a youth. And I kind of just repressed that. I said, okay, well, I had that great whatever. But then I started to explore it. People on the radio shows, talk shows, they started asking me, said, why don't you go ahead and do another hypnotic regression and see what information you can get? And I did that recently, right before I went on the coast to coast. And it turned out to be really good information because it ties everything together between my dad and me. And it goes beyond that. But it's a pretty amazing story that goes beyond this lifetime. And so I'll leave it up to you to ask the questions, and I'll go ahead with their process here.
Tell me about your encounter with the Archangel Michael.
Well, that one, many years ago, I studied spirituality with different teachers, and then I learned different systems of meditation. And as I began to have like a kind of a more advanced system, started to work on some Kundalini meditation. So my consciousness was actually rising and it was going to go out of my crown chakra. And suddenly this being, dark entity, kind of grabbed me on the shoulder. I mean, it was really strong, kind of scared me because I wasn't used to this kind of phenomenon. I've always had some kind of weird paranormal experience as a kid, but nothing like that. So I got kind of scared. And so I kind of called for help. I prayed to God, and then all of a sudden I saw myself being surrounded by many angels, but there was one really big one, one tall one, and he had big wings, and he had a sword. At the time, I didn't know anything about Archangel Michael, and he wielded his sword, and then this entity, this being, kind of left me, and so I was able to proceed. So I think they were trying to stop me from my spiritual awakening evolution. And so, yeah, that was my first experience with Archangel Michael. And the order that I belong to, the humanitarian order that I belong to, is called the Equestrian Order of Michael Archangel. So it's kind of interesting that this prince, he found me a year ago, and he offered me an opportunity to be a knight. And when I heard about that name, Archangel Michael, I said, I have to join. And besides that, Prince Garios is an amazing humanitarian, a great, beautiful being.
Now, you mentioned just now that was your first encounter with the Archangel.
Yes.
What were the other encounters like?
Well, no, that was a one and only encounter. Usually after that experience, I realized who he was. And anytime I get into a situation, I would call upon him for protection. So I know he's there in the periphery, but most of my encounters now are mostly the ascended beings. You know, I started to have ascended beings that I met at the Mount Shasta. I've seen them for many years when I meditate, but they're kind of silent. I would just see them. But you want me to get into the story of the Mount Shasta?
Absolutely. Let's just roll.
Yeah, so I started my studies of healing arts in Mount Shasta. I was studying with a Canadian Reiki master, and he's a really great healer. His name is Joe Ego, and he was actually on the TV program with Stan Lee. He was a kind of a martial artist too, and you know, Stan Lee would kind of check out people who have special talent, and he had a special talent. He can flip and kind of stay in the air for a long time. He's a very talented person, but he's also a healer. So I met up with him. You know, he came from Canada. We met up at Mount Shasta. And we started to do our spiritual studies there. He started teaching me about how to use a Vogel crystal wand. Are you familiar with that? Well, he had a huge one. I mean, just like really, really big one. And it's probably worth over $10,000, $15,000, a huge one. Wow. He does weather shamanism. And we were using that, and he was working on my chakras. And, you know, every time he would go through a chakra, I would see beautiful radiant colors. Each chakra was a different color. And he was like amazed because I could see so vividly. So after that experience, I was finished. He opened all my chakras. I began to connect more with the ascended beings. And I looked at the sun. And suddenly, it was a beautiful, beautiful violet ray that emanated from the center of the sun to me. And that was a really auspicious sign. But anyways, we became friends and we kept in contact in the Facebook. And one time I was looking at his friend list, this elderly man stood out. Uh-huh. And his energy was so strong, and I wanted to connect with him. So I sent him an email and said, hey, his name is Peter Mount Shasta. Turns out that he's like a best-selling author, wrote all these beautiful spiritual classics, and he's very high up there. Spiritual teacher, guru, you know, whatever you want to call him. He's a mystic, essentially. And so I contacted him and said, hey, let's get together sometime. And he said, sure. So I meet with him at Mount Shasta, and I'm about 4 hours away from him. So I drove there, and that drive was very long. And so I wanted to take a break because I wanted to take a drink or go to, you know, relax because it's too long. But something in me kept on prompting me, you know. I come to realize later on it's called the I Am Presence. The cosmic presence. Some people call it the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the Atman. Anyways, that presence within your heart that speaks to you from the universe. You know, the heart chakra is a cosmic door. So it spoke to me and said, no, don't stop. Keep going. No matter what, just keep going. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I don't like this, but I'm going to do it. So I went all the way there, got there. As soon as I pulled up to the restaurant, it was a Lily's Cafe there in town. And I was going in the restaurant, and he was on his way getting up to leave. If I just stopped for a second, a minute or two, I would have missed him. In my whole life, I would have missed this whole opportunity. So we had a nice talk, and I didn't realize how important he was at that time. I just felt his energy. And afterwards, I went to his place. And mind you, like a week before I met with him, I began to have these weird obsessions with turbans. You know, the turbans that the Sikh Indians wear. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I just looked through eBay and was fascinated by it. And I wanted to buy one. My wife thought I was crazy. She says, what's going on with you? You're becoming Indian now? And then so when we got to Peter's house, I was looking around these different pictures. And then he told me that these are, I said, who are they? He said, well, these are ascended masters. I said, cool. And I kept on looking. And then there was one that I looked at, and he had a turban. I said, oh, okay, who's this guy? He's the Maha Chohan. And apparently he's another ascended master. And after we talked for a few minutes, and all of a sudden he got a message. And he said, the Maha Chohan is waiting for you. I said, what? This guy that I just looked at the picture, and the guy that triggered me to maybe have this fascination with this turban, is actually wanting to meet with me. I was kind of in shock. And then we kept on talking. And then he had another message. A stronger one. He says, he's waiting for you right now at Mount Shasta. So we were kind of in the town area. I didn't know anything about Mount Shasta other than just the basics. And then he said, yeah, you got to go there. So I wasn't sure about my way around, but I said, okay, well, you know, you're the guru, you're the mystic, and I'll listen. So I went and drove there. So I drove up the mountain, and it was very dark, and there was like a snow all around the road. I had to go really slow. And I got there, and you can't go all the way top, but there's a first level you can go to. It's called Bunny Flat, and it was snow all around. So I had no idea, like, where should I go? You know, but I just kind of tuned in to that cosmic presence and wind in my heart to guide me what to do. And all of a sudden, I was guided to just go to this place to meditate. On my way there, I saw this huge footprint. It was like about that big. And I said, I don't know, is it a big bear or is it a Bigfoot? Because there are a lot of Bigfoots in that mountain as well. Right. It's really a paranormal mountains. And but I said, well, if this master, this ascended being, is guiding me to go there, then I think I can trust him. So I started to meditate. And then all of a sudden, this high frequency in my right ear, really high. It lasted for a long time. And then all of a sudden, they appeared. It was like the Maha Chohan, Jesus, Saint Germain, Kuan Yin. And they were there above me. And they didn't say anything, but they were transmitting something to me. They were doing an attunement. I could feel the energy going to me. And the sky was all dark. Uh-huh. And there were a few people when I got there. But after a while, they all left. And so I was all alone. And so this process, this attunement, lasted for a while. So when it was over, suddenly that high-pitched frequency sound in my ear just went away. Years later, I found out that was like a clairaudient ear. Anytime I have a mystical experience with a master nearby, it would activate in a very high pitch. And then they left after this frequency left too. But at the same time, I looked up. Suddenly, I was surprised. The whole sky was blue. No cloud. Whole sky. I mean, mind you, the whole sky earlier was dark and cloudy. People were leaving because they felt like it was going to rain. And so it happened right after this mystical encounter. So that's my initiation into the world of these ascended beings. So ever since then, they've been coming more and more. Different ones, you know, from Buddha and all the different ones would come and do different teachings with me. And people say, well, you can make this up. It's a figment of your imagination. Mm-hmm. But it's not, because sometimes they leave physical evidence that I had this encounter. One time I was meditating with an oracle, and she was connecting to Mother Mary, and I was also. And then she asked me, she says, did you want to ask any questions, or do you want to connect with her? I said, I'm already connecting already. And so I finished my meditation. And as I was leaving, I was suddenly told, you know, by my I Am presence to stop, look down on the ground, and then it says, pull this thing out. There was a rock embedded in the ground. And I said, okay, I'll listen. I pulled it out, and it was the shape of Mother Mary. It had her energy. So sometimes things like that, they leave these signs to kind of remind you of the event. Uh-huh. And my mother-in-law was not a spiritual at all. I mean, she's religious, a Catholic, and I showed her the stone. I said, look what I found. And the first thing she said was Mother Mary. I thought, wow, if that's a validation or what? But I mean, I have many validations. One time I had this woman, I think they call themselves Abalario. It's kind of a medicine woman in the Philippines. She came to my house one day and she took this thing called the tawa. It's kind of like an alum material. Like they use it sometimes for deodorant. But she rubbed that alum material around my body, picked up the energy. And then she put it in like a frying pan, and she was cooking it for a while. And then guess what shape did it become?
Mother Mary?
Exactly. Okay. She told her that she's one of my ascended masters that watches over me and protects me. So she's one of my core ones that's always with me. So I have different ones come and go, but there are core ones that stay with me all the time. And I think Buddha is one of them. And then there's another one, Ananda Mayima. She's an Indian saint, one of the most famous Indian saints in the world. She passed away many years ago, but she was one of those avatars that was born speaking already. And she knew about spirituality without even studying it. Most saints, they go to a learning period. They get taught by a teacher or a guru. But she knew everything when she was born. It was beautiful that she came into my life as well through a visionary dream, in guiding me, the people I should meet. And one time she told me to, in a dream, to meet with this guy, Acharya Mangananda, and I was friends with him on Facebook, but I didn't know anything about him. All I knew was that he was a musician. And she said that you learn from him and you listen to his music and you understand my love and teaching. So I contact this guy. We go to San Rafael, had dinner. It turns out he's the direct disciple of the saint when she was alive. And the Acharya is a title, which means that he's allowed to teach her sacred teachings. So, I mean, you can't just make this kind of thing up, you know. Yeah. And listening to his music, he has a special, like, spiritual music, kirtan music, the Indian music. And when he plays it, it's a very devotional music. You know, he connects with her when he plays it. But when you sing it and you participate with the music, it connects you to this goddess. And actually, he wrote a book called The Goddess Amongst Us, and she indeed is a goddess. So I have all these mystical things, and she's my latest and greatest master that has been in my life.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, Mount Shasta, for me, there's just something about it. And I don't know if it's certain people, you know, that have the gift, if you want to say that. But to me, it draws me in. It gets my full attention.
Yeah, yeah. It's a living mountain. I mean, a lot of people are like that, like just like you. They'll drive by Mount Shasta without knowing anything about it, and somehow they get drawn to it. Mm-hmm. The mountain calls you. Even for me, so after a while, you know, I go on in my life, but then I start feeling the need to go there. It has the energy to call you. And mm-hmm. It's a living mountain. And every time I go there, I have a smaller Vogel crystal one, and I bless the mountain. You know, it gives so much to people that go there. It kind of rejuvenates them. It refreshes their energy. And it helps people to connect to the divine in that mountain. It's a beautiful vortex. Some people call it the root chakra of the planet. But other people, they call it the heart chakra because it's kind of a dormant volcano. So there's an energy there. And then one of my friends, her name is Dr. Cordeo. She said that a long time ago, some Tibetans brought some artifacts. They brought it to the mountain and anchored the energy from Mount Kailash in Tibet. And that's known as the crown chakra of the planet. So through that process of bringing that artifact, they anchored the energy there to Mount Shasta. And so now people say that it's the crown chakra of the planet and kind of helping balance all the other chakras in the planet.
Well, what I always found interesting, because like I said, the house we had was 40 miles away to the north of Shasta. So I could sit on the back porch and stare at this mountain. And what struck me was that in my mind, it felt like I was overwhelmed thinking of the history that this mountain saw. Like it was trying to tell me, hey, I've been here thousands and thousands of years, and I've seen all this, and I'm still seeing things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an incredible pool that thing has.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the UFOs, and, you know, people have seen UFOs. I've seen UFOs in the mountain, and it's got beautiful clouds, the lenticular clouds. Many people say that the UFOs, they cloak themselves in these clouds. I think that some of them may have the UFOs cloaked in them, and others are just regular clouds. Mm-hmm. But I've been there a few times, many times, and then I videotape like a UFOs there. And interesting enough, I just felt the calling. I was at a hotel, actually. I felt the calling to go to the balcony and start filming. And then I saw this thing flying around. I followed it. And then I started analyzing the picture. And I didn't realize that while I was focusing on that, there were all these UFOs below it that was flying around. I didn't even pay attention to that. But you don't see it until you zoom into the camera, you know, the video, and then you see all these things. But definitely, I mean, it's a mystical place, and there's so many stories there, and so many people, they get their divination there. People from all walks of life, the Buddhist masters go there. People from around the world go to the special sacred mountain.
Absolutely. Now we're talking about UFOs and stuff flying around there. You have had communication with ETs, correct?
Yeah. I had a communication when I was young. Actually, I didn't even know I had a communication or contact, rather. When I was somewhere between 6 and 10 years old, I was at a farm in the Fairfield, California. I was missing for about an hour, and I don't remember the details about that, but I remember going back to the farm. So years later, I started to study hypnosis, and I took a class on regression hypnosis. Mm-hmm. We were practicing on each other, and all of a sudden, I went back in time, and I saw myself as a child, and next to me are these beings. One of them is a tall, like a mantis being, and another one was tall, so they had like really big eyes. And so that's all the detail I saw at that moment, because it was just a class. The funny thing is that the teacher, the professor there, was clairvoyant, and she must have tuned into me because she knew what I saw. And so she asked me to share my hypnotic regression, my experience. Mm-hmm. I told her about it, or told the class about it, and she already had seen it because she had tuned into my hypnosis. So I've been talking about this, you know, for the past few months. And finally, I decided to find an ET expert who also does hypnosis. And she did it recently, right before the Coast to Coast show. Mm-hmm. So to find out what happened, because I just saw these beings. So I had this encounter with them. I was very young. I wasn't afraid. But next scene is that I'm being led through this farm. And then there's kind of a beam of light, kind of white light. And then we go into this beam, all three of us. And the next thing you know, I'm in there, not being interrogated, but there's a ET looking at me. And it's using it's kind of like a mind, like a psychic ability, tuned to my consciousness to see what's going on inside of me. And I think it was giving me a message too, because during that time period, between 6 and 10, was a very turbulent time in my life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of family issues. My parents, you know, had a lot of fights in front of me. A lot of abuse going on, a lot of emotional stuff going on. So it was kind of giving me like a support and kind of like plant a seed that, you know, there's things that are going to happen with me in the future, and that my life is more than these crazy activities going on. And that despite this turbulence in my life, that there's hope in the future. So that's what I saw. And it was a beautiful experience. But of course, these things, you repress it. Mm-hmm. You forget about it. And it takes something like hypnosis to bring it out. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was just that one contact experience. But then through mm-hmm. this hypnotic regression, I found out there were more that I had forgotten about. You know, I had an experience in San Francisco. I had a contact with the Pleiadian. And during that time, I was having a hard time in my life. And there was a woman, a real tall woman, blonde hair, and had a suit. And she comforted me. And this time, the last time, the first contact was more of a physical experience. This one is more of a kind of in the inner realm, you know, in the astral realm. She comforted me and tell me that, you know, there's another reality beyond what I'm experiencing, and that, you know, she loves me and cares for me, that everything's going to be okay. So that was very comforting to see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. ETs, did you learn anything from them as far as, you know, what they're doing, you know, coming here or anything like that?
Learning something about them in terms of messages or?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the books that I wrote, mm-hmm. I found out later on that they're actually channeled from them. They channeled the information to me. They download it. So they taught humanity. Basically, these are enlightened species I'm dealing with. You know, people have some bad experience, and there's the good ones and there are bad ones, positive, negative. Mm-hmm. Well, the enlightened ones, they want us to be more united. And they want us to kind of evolve in our consciousness, because when we evolve, they evolve. Mm-hmm. And they're concerned about our planet. A lot of them are concerned. There's many different species, races. They're concerned about the nuclear warhead, nuclear testing, nuclear power. And so during 1945... and my father was there in the military. He filmed the first testing of the nuclear bomb. It was the Trinity. That was the testing call. Mm-hmm. And tested, I think, north of White Sands, New Mexico. So he filmed the event. And that was the one that was released and tested by Dr. Oppenheimer. They made a movie about that. And so that event triggered a kind of a big sound wave to the universe. Into the ETs. Since that happened, all the ETs were visiting the military bases. They were going to the nuclear sites, and they were shutting them down, some of them, shutting them down or causing them to not be functional. Uh-huh. And so they're concerned that this nuclear bomb that we have, technology, can basically destroy the world. And when if you watch the movie about Dr. Oppenheimer, there was a slim chance that this test would have destroyed the whole world. Fortunately, it didn't. But it destroyed enough people in Hiroshima, caused enough damage for many generations, you know, in Japan. And so they don't want this thing to happen again. And I think in the past, they talk about these nuclear situations that happen. Even in the Indian Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, they talk about this kind of nuclear event. So I don't think they want it to happen again. But essentially, they want us to be more united. They want us to be more concerned about our planet. I mean, I do have specific messages if you want me to read it, but I'm just giving you a general overview.
Absolutely. They're afraid of us, you know, blowing ourselves up, essentially. Do they want to interfere in that, or do they want us to you know, have that V8 moment where, oh, no, we don't want to do this anymore?
Say again, I couldn't hear you.
Well, you know, it seems like from what you're saying, they're concerned about us, you know, with the nuclear stuff that we have. Mm-hmm. Are they willing to intervene if something starts to go wrong and it goes through?
Yeah.
That's
important. Yeah, you said that. They actually have been intervening. Missiles has been intercepted. There were some times that the whole system was shut down completely. Mm-hmm. And there was, I know different people who are ET ambassadors. And one of my friends is one for the Andromeda Council, which is comprised of different ET races. And another one is the Commander Ashtar. And he mentioned specifically about the nuclear threat. And they said that they have no tolerance for it. So I know that if they do it, there's going to be some intervention. I know they don't try to do a direct intervention, but this thing affects the planet and then can affect the universe. So they have to do something to protect the universe and us. So yeah, I believe that will happen again. But even the astronaut, I think Edgar Mitchell talked about that, and he was a resident of New Mexico. He's actually a friend of my friend, and he talked about how these ETs would do that to the nuclear sites. They would cause them to malfunction, and it shut them down. And they had the technology to do that. So so definitely they would do something.
What attracts them here to Earth?
Well, I think in many ways they are just like us. They're like the future us, and so I think what attracts them here, well, depending on which group you're talking about, they've been here many, many, many thousands of years, and I was surprised to find out that they even live under the ocean in different places. They have places where they actually live, and they've been here even before us. But I think just working with us and helping the human consciousness, I think there's a need for some of them to be here. But others have been here a long time and working through the system and behind the scenes and kind of orchestrating things behind the scene in a quiet way. Mm-hmm. Others, more benevolent ones, more enlightened ones, are working with these star seeds around the world to kind of teach them different things to make the world a better place, you know. So I think there are different reasons, and different species come for different reasons. Mm-hmm. They're having problems with their planetary system because, you know, their DNA has been destroyed. And the way we're living our life right now, with all the stuff we put into our body, inject into our body, what we're eating, and all the Wi-Fi and all the 5G, all that's destroying our DNA. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't change our way in the future, we may end up like them too. And destroying our DNA so that we have to search for new places or new beings to help us repopulate. Mm-hmm. So some of them are doing genetic engineering to kind of help save their species from dying off. So they all have their own agendas. And so when I talk to my friend who's a ET ambassador, she tells me about some of the ones that she dealt with. And they're more concerned about empowering humanity. And they are aware of the source, and they. This one, I want to read this quick one because it's a short one. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
This is the message from the Andromedan Council, word for word. Okay. We are here to bridge the gap of disconnect to source. We are here to enhance and activate your DNA codes once again, guiding you without interfering directly. You activate, you feel, you create. We are here to experience unity, and when you rise, we rise. We are connected to bring to completion our communion of souls. Every one of us is taking part in this experiment. We have the higher the planetary frequency. So that's just one of them. I had like, I think coast to coast, I had three different, what do you call it, messages from the ETs to us. And they vary slightly, but basically they really are concerned about us and want us to have a better life so that we don't end up like some of them that have issues.
Right. So is that what this, so, you know, the supposed hybrid program is all about? Is not only improving their DNA, but improving ours?
Yeah, I guess so. You could say that because you talk about the star seeds and they're, what, had some human genetics with the ET genetics. And it helps us to connect to both sides, have a better understanding. And maybe we'll have a more equipped with special abilities. Some are psychic, some can do remote viewing. But they teach you different things, and some are more spiritual beings to bring more spirituality in the world, more balance.
And you mentioned that they have been here since probably ancient times. Is there ever a time, okay, because obviously, you know, when you look back on, you know, I'm going to digress a little bit to that book, Chariots of the Gods, you know, the different art stuff that they had that looked like helmets and all this sitting in spaceships. Did they ever think that those people back then were too primitive to communicate with, so they kind of were laying wait to watch us evolve more in order to be able to communicate with us better?
You know, I know there's like different theories out there, and I know that the earlier species came here and they were doing some kind of mining. So supposedly the humans were kind of created genetically to help with that mining project, you know, and they were like workers, or like almost like slaves in a way. But see, you have to look at, there's different species, you know, there's the Anunnaki, and then there's all the mantis, they're all different ones, they have the different specialties. Like the mantis, I found out later on that he's known as the space doctor. They're very loving, very caring, and they're healers, essentially. And so maybe that exposure to that species helped me to become a healer as well. Also their dominance, they also do like healing. So depending on which ones are influencing us, have different aspects on the planet, you know, in terms of either rising up or becoming a slave. I think there's a species out there that's orchestrating around to try to have a tyranny in the planet so that we're controlled, you know, and they want to control the population, and they want to control how we think and how we feel. And, you know, some of the things that happened in the past a few years, you know, the crisis created a scenario of anger, of anxiety, fear, depression. Well, some of these beings that are behind the scenes, they live off of this stuff. It gives them power. It helps them thrive. And so there's this whole battle. So when I was watching this program one time, and it was about the, what do you call those things? The crop circles. And it started in the 70s. Wow, the mathematical, geometrical. And I think one of your guests was a journalist, award-winning one. I think I can't remember her last name, but anyway, she went there to check it out, and she went into it to experience it. And what she found is that some of them had positive energies, and then other ones are negative energies. What tells you is that something may appear beautiful, exquisite, but may have darker energies behind it. So what it teaches us is that, you know, the situation may be presented that looks so beautiful and perfect, and then, you know, what choices you make, if you connect with that, you believe that, and then your life will go one route. It may lead you to the route of darkness, okay? You choose another one that's in better harmony. And interesting enough, the dark one and the light one has different patterns of numbers associated with. I think the one that is light, Christ energy, is like 3, 6, 9, kind of like a divinity number. The other one, like 5, 7, some other number. But what it's telling us is that the choices you make in life, and you have to raise your consciousness to see beyond the deception. There is a deception in the world. One path leads you to becoming a slave into this kind of ego consciousness. And you just live for the moment, you know, in the matrix. The other one, setting you free, the path of life, the wisdom and enlightenment. and setting into a liberation, raising the frequency of the planet to be in a better state and to free our souls, so, you know, so to speak.
What about the aliens, like the reptilians?
Yeah, well, they've been around for a long time, and those are the ones I'm mentioning about. That's kind of behind the scene. But there are benevolent ones too, and I didn't know that. I just kind of realized that and learned about that recently from this ET expert that I talked with. And she said that, actually, her name is Misha Johnston. She's been around for a while and been in different movies, and she's very connected to the ETs. And we were looking at different ETs that have connected with me, and then she found out that actually the benevolent reptilian is one of them affiliated with me. From my memory, I don't remember it, but from she did a hypnotic regression. But what I know is that I go to places. Sometimes I'll just look up, and I don't see anything. I'll take a picture, and later on, I'll capture a picture of a UFO. Mm-hmm. And so, what I found out in the hypnosis is that they're connected to me, protecting me, but they're not making the direct contact with me. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like an observer watching me, and so they're there. It's just like the angelic realm. There's the angelic realm, the demonic realm. You have the either good side, the bad side, or the positive, negative, ego consciousness versus the enlightenment consciousness, the unity consciousness, the duality of the world. But they are there. So if you call upon them and want you to wake up, find your true nature, you connect with them, they will help you, you know, to protect you. And a lot of these people, you know, situations, sometimes the public, and they have to be careful. And so they have these beings that they can call upon that to help them.
Okay. Question in the chat room is, so the number 7's not good.
You know, I don't know what this 7, because I know 7 is I heard before the Christ number, but maybe I memorized it wrong, but it was 5 and something else. Maybe it was not 7, but I know 7 is, you can use it as a healing number. Mm-hmm. So don't quote me on that, but there are certain numbers that are different than the other, the 369 on the other set of crop circles that produces a more negative response. So it could be a different number, maybe 8 or some different number. I just kind of, top of my head. The 369 are the good ones that I remember.
Absolutely. Getting back to these species like the reptilians, do the aliens that, I'm not going to say no, it's like anything else. I mean, our population, we have good and bad people. You know, it's just the nature of the way things are. Mm-hmm. Are the good aliens able to keep these more negative aliens in check, or do they all work together?
No, I don't think they work together. I mean, but you know, the thing is, it's up to us, really. You know, that's why they can't really do direct interference in like a Star Wars. But there are. Having said that, though, when I went to Greece, and I went to Meteora. It's a beautiful place with high mountains, and it's a place where they build these beautiful churches on top of the mountains. These monks, they climb these mountains to build it there, mm-hmm. this monastery. Anyways, in Greece, you know, UFOs have been visiting them for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it comes so regularly, people sit there just to wait for them, like an entertainment. Mm-hmm. One time there was one shaped like a diamond, it was there for like an hour. And then one time, this guy, he was our private tour guide, he said that he saw 2 UFOs, and they were firing at each other. So I asked my friend, who's like these ambassador, and she said, well, normally the benevolent one, they don't get into any violence or hostility, but probably they were fighting off one that was a negative one. And sometimes the negative ones are, it's sad to say, but they're working with humans. Who are, you know, plotting some kind of bad things, you know. They're kind of creating scenarios that make people create fear during their abduction experiences. So I think sometimes these abduction experiences with traumatic experiences may be a result of these kind of cooperative abduction, where they're violating people and doing things against their will. I mean, if you really want, if when you're being taken away, having a contact experience, if you don't want to go, you just tell them, you know, and you put your intention to it, and they can't force you to go against your will. But a lot of times people, on one level, they say they don't want to go, but then Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But on another level, they're kind of curious. They want to learn more about it.
Interesting. Very interesting. I was just thinking when you were talking about your contact with Archangel Michael. I had contact with Archangel too. I think, I believe, during an investigation.
Wow.
We had walked into this triple wide motorhome. This woman had claimed that she was being attacked by demonic forces. And as I walked in, I saw this black shadow moving along the wall. So we get all set up. Weird things are happening. You know, things are being thrown around, and people are getting physically ill. And we go in the master bedroom to do an EVP session. And I did the call out, and, you know, did all that stuff. And you hear a voice come on the EVP, and it says, "Gabriel, watch out." And I knew, I mean, that there's only one Gabriel in reference to ghost hunting that I could think of. You know, that something was warning Gabriel to be careful with whatever this thing was.
Wow.
So it could have been Michael, it could have been, you know, any of the other angels that were there. You know, we're trying to help us in all this.
We're not alone. I mean, these beings we think is a figment of our imagination, but they're there. And sometimes they work on the inner realm. Sometimes they manifest in the physical realm. But regardless, they are there.
It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm,
and your experience over the years, you know, with the stuff that you've had happen to you, has there been anything that scared you at all, or no, or it's just been all real peaceful and
No. I get scared quite a bit. I mean, when you're a kid, especially, you know, I remember being home by myself and I heard footsteps going up the stairs, and then finally when I got to the top. I looked and then I didn't see anything. It was like a shadow figure. I just ran across the hallway, went through the wall. And I was so scared. I ran away from the house. So that's one thing. And then when I was young one time, I was sleeping. And then there was this being, a negative entity, over my chest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like a sleep paralysis thing. But my eyes were open. And I could feel this thing breathing over me. Mm-hmm. And I felt helpless. I couldn't move at all. So, I mean, those were kind of scary things. And the thing that happened to me when I was meditating and my consciousness was trying to release, and this thing suddenly, you know, you don't expect that, you're by yourself in a room and something grabs you and kind of picks you out. You know? Oh, so yeah, I have a story. I was a story about the paranormal at Mount Shasta. My good friend Rob Thompson is a host for Ghost Finders. Mm-hmm. He gave me the special camera for picking up like negative entities, so he gave me one. So I took it with me. I just felt like a reason I should take it to Mount Shasta. So I stayed with my friend, and then he had a restroom outside of his house. So I went out there and went to the restroom, and all of a sudden I felt really weird. My arm, my goose pimples got up, and my hair stood up. So I went back to the house. I told my friend, said, "Hey, is your place haunted?" He goes, "Oh, you felt it too?" He says, "Yeah, there's one in the house too." So I said, "You know what? I got this camera. Let's test it out." I was scanning the room, you know, and so I didn't see anything. And all of a sudden, in this one corner, he told me to point to it. All of a sudden, there was an anomaly, and you could see it. There was like an entity there. And then it started to move, and it caught that. And I took a screenshot of that. I have it somewhere in my books. And so we decided to go to the bathroom, and I scanned around, didn't see anything. Then he told me to aim the camera at a certain corner, and I did. And then, sure enough, it showed up. And then I moved the camera around outside, and it was like everywhere. So I think that what happened is that this place may have been a massacre site. And I remember there was a story about a group of Native American people going there, and they were invited for dinner. And then all of a sudden they were ambushed, you know, by all the Caucasians there, and the wives and the kids were taken away. So maybe that was a sight, because I felt like there was a lot of dark entities there. My friend is a very young guy at that time. It was in his 20s, and he couldn't leave for some reason. You know, every time he would leave, something would happen to his car, and then he was very frail. He was using a cane. So I told him, I said, I feel like these entities are feeding off your energy. And they're feeding off of you, taking your chi energy away. And then, so then that's why you're so sick. You act like you're 80 years old. So finally, I got him to move out, and then he got his health back, and, you know, the rest is history. But sometimes, you know, in the wrong place, you got to get out of there, because these things, they thrive on you. It can be thriving on you for years.
When you meditate, what types of meditations do you do?
The one I do, well, the universe kind of guided me to meditating in a way where I use the Kundalini energy. So I work on kind of going through each chakra, kind of with affirmations, with visualizations. Mm-hmm. And I try to visualize the Sri Yantra, which is a powerful yantra, mm-hmm. and opening up each of them. And then after I circulate my energy and then kind of release it so that I move into the universe. So I sometimes do that, and sometimes I do Vipassana. But I notice when I do that, I have a better connection to the ascended beings because I raise my consciousness higher. So I do that, the Kundalini type of meditation. But I call it the UUMM, Universal United Meditation Method. That's the method that I found it and developed. And that's what I mostly use, you know. But sometimes I'll use...
Go ahead.
Sorry. No. Sometimes I'll use a different one. There's different ones I use. The Vipassana is a nice, gentle one to kind of mm-hmm. get your center. And that's the one that the Buddha used for enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's one that I did. It's a really easy one to do. It's called Hari Om Tatsa Jai Guru Datta. And it was taught to you by a famous guru in India. And you just chant that so many times. At the end, you just stop. And then it, mm-hmm. it just drifts you into the meditative state of consciousness.
Nice. But,
yeah. So I think it depends on where you are in your consciousness and where you are in your level of spirituality. Different systems may be good for one thing versus another.
Mm-hmm. Do you travel out of body?
I do. More so when I was young. I used to actually travel a lot when I was young. And then I think I got kind of religious. Then I decided that, you know, maybe I shouldn't do so much. Mm-hmm. But I want to get back into it again. I mean, now... it happens less and less, but it feels amazing when you astral travel. You know, it's like I can feel like when you're flying out there, you're so free. You're like Superman. You can feel the air, you feel the trees, everything's so real there. But sometimes, you know, you encounter some dark entities there. Uh-huh. So definitely, that's something I want to do. As I get older, physically, you can't travel as much place as you want. Uh-huh. So I told my wife, I said, you know what? Don't worry. We're just going to do astral traveling when we're old. It's free. And you go to beautiful places.
Was it hard, when you left your body like that, teaching yourself to come back to your body and back into your body? Was that difficult at first?
You know, when I was doing it as a kid, I didn't even think about it. It just happens. You know, you just go and then you just come back. And sometimes you just drop back into your body. Uh-huh. So... But I think I want to, as I get older, I want to perfect it, so you know, make it smoother, you know, because it's kind of disturbing when you just drop back in your body like that.
What's one of the best experiences that you've had traveling out of your body?
Well, I think the one that, as a kid, I used to fly around the city, so I mean, that was fun. But recently, probably the past year, I think having about out-of-body experience, astral traveling, and just flying in the dark and flying around, and it just feels so much freedom, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like life, you have so much restrictions, and you have the restrictions of the body. But there, your mental body flies and goes wherever you want. And one time I flew, I found myself right above a whale. I think the whale was going up, and I was right above it. I said, wow, that's amazing. How can this ever happen in real life, you know? In the physical realm, you know, but in the astral realm, you know, you can do things like that.
How fantastic. I know I love to meditate. I don't go out of body, but I just love that calm feeling that you get, you know?
Yeah, we need that. We need to kind of center and help us to be one with the universe, the cosmos. And that helps with everything. It helps your psychic ability, helps your spirituality. It just helps you for your ascension. It's a good thing to do. I mean, it's something that we all should learn.
I know it helped with my health because I had health problems, and it really helped heal. You know, a good majority of my health problems. So
that's great.
I haven't done it in a while, but I definitely want to get back into it. I get so deep in it, people think I fall asleep. But not.
You're in the zone, you know. But sometimes meditation, you know, I mean, like I think they asked Buddha. He says, "Well, I didn't get anything out of it, but I lost my depression. I lost anxiety." You know, lost your anger, you lose your anger. So you lose all those emotional things that's controlling you. But I believe that he did have all these mystical experiences, but he just didn't say it. But I mean, there's so many physical benefits to it. And even if you do it regularly for 3 to 6 months, it lengthens your telomeres. So you live a longer life by doing that. I think in China, there was a guy who lived to 220 years old. And he's one of the secrets is meditation. Mm-hmm. Because this is a fast-paced world. You got to slow down.
And there's so many nice ways to do it. I mean, they've got that background music stuff you can buy. You know, the rain in the background. You can put, you know, all that sound stuff that you can buy to get yourself into that mode.
Yeah, you start with that. Incredible. Listen to the sound, the music. But then eventually you want to go from that and go within and just appreciate the breath, the nature of your mm-hmm. breath, and go inwards and mm-hmm. not rely on external stimulation. But, you know, you're right. You have to start somewhere. And sometimes that's the easiest way to get started, by listening to nice meditation music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's next for you?
What's next? I don't know. People keep telling me to write a book. And I don't know. I mean, with my father, with his experiences in Roswell, it was mm-hmm. an amazing story. I might start, maybe I'll write about that. But right now, I'm just working on planetary things. I'm working on different people around the world, kind of raise the planet's consciousness and mm-hmm. try to work with different groups like that to bring them together. Somehow the universe is connecting me to all the great minds of the world and bringing them together for the benefit of humanity. That's the most important thing right now, because there's so much toxic energy on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And if I have free time, then I'll work on my book. But otherwise, just go out and educate people and meditate and, you know, work together to bring more unity in the world.
Absolutely. So before you go, how can people find you?
They can go to my website, sirblakesinclair.com, and they'll see my books, my bio, and all the interesting people I've met in my life. And you can send an email there, and it'll go to me. Just like I found you. You send me a message, and I got a hold of you, and here we are.
Here we are chit-chatting. This has been fun. This has been a great interview.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I thank you so much for coming out. I'd love to have you on again at some point.
Sure, anytime. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You have your books, and this is the last question. I sometimes ask people this, sometimes I don't. But I like you, so I'm going to do it. You're standing on the strip in Las Vegas, and there's other guys that have these type of experiences that you have had that have books. How do you get people to read your books?
How do I get them to read it? What do you mean, how do I get them to read it?
Well, it's kind of like you're sitting out there trying to bring them into your store, right? You know,
Well, that's why, like going here, these are one of the things, going to these shows, talking to people about these things and how, mm-hmm. well, these books will help you with enlightenment. It's about spirituality. It's about health and wellness. It's about how to be happy, how to be really successful. And the last book I wrote is a New Beginning, An Antidote to the Civilization. It's all about health. Mm-hmm. And all these things that happened to us, you know, the past few years compromise our immune system. So I write a lot of cutting-edge information to help you navigate through your health situation to live a happier, healthier life. So, I mean, if you want to be happy, you want to be healthier, you want to have less stress, you want to have less pain, you want to attain enlightenment, I mean, all those are good things. You know, I have all the experience and the wisdom from the universe, from the ascended beings and from the ETs. If you want to learn about that, read my books and you'll learn about that. And if you want more one-on-one, then you can go to my website and you can book a session and we can talk further. But I usually tell people, read the book first, get the foundation, and then when you're ready, you can talk.
Absolutely. And guys, the links to his website is down in the description of the show, along with his books and all that good stuff. Blake, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And I hope you have a good rest of your evening, sir.
Thank you. You too.
You have a great one.
You too.
Okay, well, that was fun. I learned a lot, you know, and I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels mystic when I'm out at Mount Shasta. Again, there's a lot of confusion today about where we were airing, whether it was Facebook or what. I think after today, I think we're going to be airing on Facebook through Friday, but beyond that, when I go to set the shows up for next week, it won't let me on Facebook to set the shows up. So I'm trying to work that out with some tech people to get that taken care of. If I can't get it taken care of by Sunday, then, of course, we'll be broadcasting on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter for a bit until we can get that figured out. But in the meantime, join me over here again. I'll be here tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Kind of shifting gears tomorrow. We're going to be talking the mob and the U.S. government. Thomas Mayer is our guest, and he's going to be on talking about how the U.S. government had hired some prominent mobsters to go in and take out Fidel Castro. And it didn't quite work out that way, but he does have an interesting story to tell about that. So that'll be 6:30 p.m. Pacific tomorrow, and hopefully on Facebook and YouTube and our usual channels. But we'll see how things go overnight. But thank you guys all for coming. I really appreciate it, and putting up with me and my messages over on Facebook trying to figure out what the hell, you know, we were going to do tonight about the show. But thank you for coming, and I appreciate it. And RSS feed, thank you as always. Numbers are still rising over there. Love it, love it, love it. If you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hated the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. Equal opportunity here at California Haunts Radio. Also, if you like what you saw, please don't forget to leave me a thumbs up or a happy face or a heart or whatever, because that means an awful lot. It means an awful lot. Anyway, I will see you guys tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Pacific with Thomas Mayer, and we're going to be talking the government, the mob in Cuba. Have a great evening, everybody, and bye. We'll be right back.